Hey guys, my name is Alexandra, and today we're gonna have a podcast about depression, about anxiety and trigger person. I wanna talk to you about this tree because I recently went through this experience for a long time. I mean, trigger person was maybe since my childhood, but anxiety was for about 8 to 9 years, and then I had depression, let's say, for the past 4 years. Yeah, let's say 4 years. Like, in this podcast, we will talk about this issue that we have discovered recently, because, to be honest, we all suffered, including our grandparents, great-grandparents, our parents, and everyone else suffered from this. But we are the generation that literally try to acknowledge it more and try to speak about it and solve it. And this is literally amazing. First of all, I'm gonna speak about triggered person. Everyone, literally, like most of the people that suffer of depression, has a trigger person. That's really annoying. If you don't know that that's your trigger person, you gonna make life hell for that person without knowing why and how is this possible. Let's say you are amazing person, you are just having great conversations with everyone else outside this trigger person, and you are literally so kind to everyone, and you would react so kind to everyone in the same situation, but with that person that triggers you, you react like a crazy person. You react like way more than how you should react to another person. I will speak about this issue not like a professional. I'm just speaking as an experienced person, and I'm speaking from my own experience. I know as a fact that a lot of people, they go through this. They go through this point, and most of the time they get this treatments or like sessions from experienced people, and most of them, they speak through terms that are used in medicine or like professional, they're used professional. Well, I will be speaking in a very basic English, in a very basic way of speaking, because I want more people to understand how is this depression acting, or how it's reacting, or how do you react once you have trigger people, depression, anxiety. So what trigger people? Okay, we all, most of us, all of us, we have trigger people in our life. And trigger people are those that, let's say, were with us in a long time, in a long time journey, or they were part of our journey while we had these issues that lead us to depression. First of all, I'll say our parent. For me, my mother was number one trigger person, and I'll say why. During my childhood, I was literally going through a lot of anxiety, panic attacks, and a lot of situations that literally lead me to have this depression. Unfortunately, I haven't had a good, happy childhood, and I mean like with my parents. I mean, this is the first time I'm speaking about. All have to have the courage to understand and express ourselves and understand ourselves, why is this happening to us right now. So as I said, my mother, she was the triggering me. She was number one person that she was triggering me. Like, when I had these episodes of feeling anxiety or insecure, she was the first one that I would shout on her, that I would blame her, that I would get angry from anything she says, that I would maybe treat her in a bad way just because she was my triggered person. Number two, which it came after I got married, it was my husband was and still is my triggered person. I'm working on this, actually. I'm working on both of it, on my mother as a triggered person and on my husband. The most important is that I know and I understand that these two are my triggered persons in my life. Let's go with the first one. My mother, she was my triggered person because back in my childhood, whenever she had problems between my father and her, they were having like, you know, issues of fighting, a lot of fights and a lot of problems. Like literally they were not mature enough. And I was in the middle of this situation where I suffered a lot because of not having attention, not be well treated or, you know, given a lot of love that I was needed as a single daughter, not having any brothers or sisters. She was literally, whenever she had an issue, she would come to me and tell me this and this and that and your father and this, it happened and I'm tired and I'm going to divorce and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you are one, like, she was blaming me that I'm part of her suffering. Well, all this through my childhood, it literally, when I was a child, I couldn't express myself much. I couldn't say what exactly, like I was not having the power to reply to her or to tell her, well, this is not true, or how do I make your marriage worse, or how do I make you suffer, or why is because of me all this happening. I was not having a voice because I was just a child. But once I grew up, and that happened around when I was like 26 maybe, for the first time I literally exploded. Back in the days, I couldn't tell her anything, because not because I was scared of her, but yeah, maybe in a way I was scared of her, but also because she was the person that gave me life, and I would really appreciate like everything she was doing for me, because that's how she taught me to appreciate what she's doing for me. But yeah, I was not having that power to reply to her, to get back to her and tell her this and this and that. And then once I got this power, I felt like I'm on myself and I'm strong enough. I went and I told her, I don't want to hear anything about your problems. I literally don't care how your life is going. You can go and divorce. You can go and do anything. I would really help you, but I want you to leave me alone. I don't want to suffer because of this issue between you and my father. So once I told her this, I got this power of replying to her every time there was something happening. Like anytime she would say something that would make me feel bad, I would straight away reply to her. I would straight away don't let her complete her complainings, let's say, about my father or about her life, about her situation, about anything. I do not blame her. She went through a very, very, very tough life before getting married and after she got married. And, you know, they lived in the village. They had very few means of money, problems. She didn't get the love from her mother because her mother was like, my grandmother was literally working on a field from day and night. So she was like left in a room with a bottle of milk or two, and she would drink that the whole day while she was like 1 year old. So then my grandmother should come from the work field at, let's say, 7 at evening, and then they would find them with empty bottles of milk. So she went through a very hard situation. She is not healed. But for me, and you know, this generation now, we decided to heal. We decided not to pass this issue or these traumas to the next generation, because this is what happened. They literally pass their traumas to the next generation, to the next generation, and the next generation. So for me, when I became a mother, I decided not to pass this onto my son, because my son doesn't deserve to go through all the past trauma generations. He's just a newborn. He's having a new life, and I want his life to be peaceful, and I want his life to be like the life I didn't have. So I decided to heal. I decided to understand what's happening to me. And it started with my mother, with my trauma from my childhood. And now that I know that she's a trigger person and I forgave her, even though it's not like 100% in my heart, I don't know how to do it. I'm trying to figure it out. At least I have the understanding that she's a trigger person, and I have to be careful. Whenever there is something that she starts again complaining or having an issue or having a fight or having anything, now the issue of a triggering person would come out. And I try to calm down. I try to say, this doesn't have to happen because she's my mother, and Allah, God, and my religion, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, teaches us not to be rude to our mothers, even though they say anything bad to you. If they say bad, if they beat you, if they say anything wrong, you should be quiet and say nothing wrong to your mother. Even if she's wrong, it doesn't mean that you have to follow. You just have to keep quiet because she's your mother, and actually that worked. And subhanallah, why I feel like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches the best, like on every subject of our life. And I'm saying that whenever I had a fight with my mother or a strong conversation and she went out or I went out, I felt so bad, like my entire world, it's shattered just because I had an argument or a strong argument with my mother or my father. It's not the same. It's literally not the same when you had an argument with someone on the streets or just a friend of yours. When you had an argument and you hurt your mother by words or your father, it's unbelievable hurting. It's hurting like crazy. This is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, do not say a bad word to your mother, because if you don't say that bad word and you just keep quiet and you say yes or okay, fine, you'll feel that peace in your heart that you didn't hurt your mother. You wouldn't feel that bad feelings anymore. The other thing is that once you make up with her, you feel like, oh my God, all the peace came back to you. All the peace came back to you. No matter how bad is your mother, whether she takes drugs, she drinks alcohol, she's whatever she does, she's your mother, and you must respect her through words. I'm not saying to do what she's saying you to do or what she does, it's wrong, but you should just respect her the way she is. So by learning this through my Islam and by understanding that she's the trigger person, I try my best to not having an argument with her, or whenever I have an argument with this trigger person that is my mother, I try to keep quiet. I try to do anything else, and I try to catch myself, even though it's painful. It's 100% crazy painful, because you expect that your mother, she will love you and understand you the most, but unfortunately that's not the case always, because their way of living, because of their ways of, you know, it's so hard when I make a picture in my mind when my mother, I always say this, just vision your mother or your parents as a child. Put yourself in your mother, in the situation where you was your mother when she was 6 years old or 3 years old, and then you have to understand that they went through crazy suffering, through crazy unbelievable suffering, both of them, my mother and father. I can't even explain. So of course they are not healed, because they were just living and working in a village, and working, like they haven't studied enough, they haven't read enough, they are not healed, you know. So you can't blame them. You just have to ask God, Allah, to make a lot of dua to Allah to make you able to deal with them. With my father, I'm okay, because even though my main issue was with my father back in the days, but we will speak about it in another podcast. This is about trigger person. That's my mother and my husband, okay? So that's what I'm trying to do with my mother. I'm just trying to say, to make a lot of dua to God to help me to understand my mother, to help me to be able to be grateful for whatever I have, to get me this instant understanding that she's my trigger person and that I have to be quiet. I just have to, you know, pass it. Once everything gets fine, then I have to maybe speak to her later, even though I haven't. Or, you know, she understood, like, automatically after she made a mistake to me, she understands. She would never come to say sorry. She would never come to say sorry. But I feel the way she speaks to me back, I understand that she knows that she made a mistake. Because we have a bit of time left, I'm gonna speak about husband trigger person or boyfriend trigger person or lover trigger person. In my case, it's my husband, of course. He's a trigger person. Also, it's about healing your traumas. It's also about healing yourself. He's my trigger person. It's not because he is. It could be anyone else. And I know that for sure. It's not because this person. And because he's doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, at all not. It's simply because of my trigger person, which is making part of my journey, of my healing, of my depression. I wouldn't call it depression anymore. I don't want to use this word anymore, depression. I would call it trauma. Trauma. And I'm happy that I'm going through this time right now, because if I wouldn't go through this time, I wouldn't heal. I wouldn't be able to heal. I wouldn't be able to understand what's happening. And I would live in the same situation where I get frustrated over anything happens to me, where I would get sad over everything happens to me, where I would cry like crazy because I don't know what's happening to me. Or let's say you don't know you're depressed. You're just frustrated over anything else happens to you. You don't know why you get angry with your parents or with your lover or with someone that is close to you. Maybe you have anxiety, or like you feel sad, or you feel scared to go out in the world. You don't want to go to public places, or you literally feel like you feel to faint. You want to faint when you are around a group of people or you are close places. You know, you get this dizziness and you get this, you know, like you don't have air anymore. Like, this is a panic attack. And if you have this, God, Allah, puts a sign on you that there is something wrong. This is so big and this is so amazing, because once you have this and you understand that you have it, you can fix it, you can heal it. There is nothing that you can't, just if you don't want to heal it. So let's speak about another trigger person. Most of us, we have like 2-3 trigger people around us, but for me, it started in the beginning to be my son, but then I said no, not my son. So my husband, it's even before I got my son. So yeah, it was a bit harder to heal it. And what was happening, let's talk about what was happening in the beginning and then how we are working on it. Okay, so first of all, in the beginning, you know, when you go and meet a person, everything is perfect. Oh, everything is amazing. You don't have any problem. You don't dare to say to him, I don't know, bad words, or to, you know, bully him, or, you know, try to annoy him or argue a lot with him. No, because he's not yet your trigger person. But once you know that this person loves you, once you understand that this person is beside you and he has given you everything, here the problem starts. And it's not, you don't do it because you mean it. You just do it because it's unconscious thing, you know. You have this need of seeing a black sheep in your life, and that is your trigger person. With your husband, it's different because he hasn't helped your trauma. He's just literally like, he has nothing to do with your childhood. He has nothing to do with anyone hurting you back in your days. He is still your trigger person. That's because if you had an issue, let's say, with your father, or you had traumas in your childhood, you always search for this traumas and problems in your marriage, in your life. You think it's normal and you think you must have it. If you don't have it, there is something wrong. So definitely it's not like that at all. He became my trigger person because I thought it's normal, and because I had some ideas of a marriage that had to be and it wasn't, which was wrong, because all the marriages are different, all the people are different, and he has his own beliefs, his own traumas, and I have my own traumas and my own beliefs, and then we put it together, and of course we have to figure it out. However, once I understood that whenever he was saying something to me, I was scared. This was the thing that made my trauma, this is what's happening, and this is why he became my trigger person, because of out of fear, like out of fear, even though there is nothing to fear about, because whatever happens, it happens. But I was feared, and I was expecting that he would hurt me. I was expecting that he would cheat on me. I was expecting that he's not doing his job enough. I was expecting to get all this, and I was waiting for the time where he's doing a small mistake or saying something that I have to activate myself and shout or get into an argument, where because of my past trauma, it reached really bad. How I helped myself, first of all, I understood that he's a trigger person. Second, I, of course, this is a big process with my mother and with my husband. The trigger people in general, it's a big process. First of all, my medication helped. It's a very basic medication. I wouldn't say it because I feel it's not right to say it, and I feel like every person that goes through this should see a medical doctor first. And I've seen that medical doctor. He prescribed me something very small, something very basic that helped me with anxiety, and automatically anxiety, and I would get the anxiety from the trigger person, of course. So this is why I started to talk about the triggered person. So by understanding that he is another human being and he have his own life, that if he does mistakes, I don't have to fear his mistakes. It's his own mistakes, and then I have to have my own life, and I'm responsible for my own doing. God will judge me for my own doing, and if he does anything wrong, or he hurts me, or he cheats on me, or he wants to do anything bad on me, as long as I'm not judged for it, I don't fear it, because I don't do this. He can't do anything bad to me, as long as my judgment, the way I judge it, I don't put it in a box and I say, did this to me, my life can't go further. So I seen it like, okay, he did this to me, God will judge it for this. My life is not affected no matter what. No matter what, my life wouldn't be affected. So I try to move these fears from my mind and understand that he's a trigger person, and understand that this wouldn't lead to any good marriage if this will continue. Speaking to him and let him understand that I have my traumas and he has his traumas and we have to figure it out, it helped a lot. We are still working on it, and I have taken my own time for myself, this actually make a big change. I try to take time for myself. I kind of distance myself from the environment that was making me feel afraid and was making me acting bad towards this person, which is my husband. So yeah, the fact that I distance myself and understand myself in this time and try to work on myself in this time had helped me unbelievable well. There is so much else to talk about this topic. I really love to talk because I've studied on through my childhood until the adulthood, and I read a lot of books on this topic. I spoke to a lot of doctors on this topic. I listened to all the podcasts that are available on online, and I took this decision to let others understand from my point of view, from my simple words, how and what means to have a depression, what means to have a trauma, because we said we don't use it. So how, what means to have gone through a trauma and what it takes to get out of it. The next episode will be also about trauma, and we'll talk about, so yeah, the next episode will be about anxiety because of the trauma. Believe most of the traumas are from the childhood, so let's call it from this childhood trauma. I hope this little story and this episode helped you, and I would like to hear a feedback from you, and just smile and be happy.